Hello and welcome again to Jaded Gamercast. I am here with Nathan, and we are at the GP Tournament of Champions, or what is it, the Winter Wa,
the Winter Wa.
Right, and I'm surprised you actually remembered your army instead of trying to bitch out, or, you know, like you do for drinking. we're both bitching out for drinking today, that is the truth. But
apparently establishments without a liquor license frown on the heavy consumption of alcohol.
That and the fact that there are also children running around at this place. So we're going to have a little bit of respect for the owner, Jason, as he's done a great job. And so today we are playing in a Warhammer 40,000 tournament.
Warhammer 40,000? Dude, have you been drinking already?
Oh my God. I said Warhammer 40,000.
You sure did?
Jesus Christ. Fucking fantasy. So I shouldn't have brought my Dark Elder or my Necrons?
Yeah. Everybody, pro tip, Lang is an easy win. He has no rank bonuses.
Well, I'm going to be trying to like throw armor saves according to AP, apparently. That'd be fun. Skipping my magic phase. That happens quite often, actually. You know, so it's good to know that I'm already in the right frame of mind. But so I'm playing my Lizardmen, which we finished at the last second. You're playing your Wood Elves, finished the monsters at the last second.
Yeah, I guess you could use air quotes when you say finished. It got to the point where I'm like, he's got more than three colors. Fuck it.
Yeah, that's very true. I guess that works. Okay, go grab somebody.
Sir, why don't you come on over?
We don't have chairs or anything. We should have thought ahead of time and actually grabbed the third chair.
This is not a professional podcast. If you've ever listened, you would know that.
You're well aware of the fact that this is not professional. What's your name, sir?
Troy.
Troy, and you are playing Chaos today?
I am.
And I'm matched up against you in my first game, so looking forward to it. That'll be fun. I do well against Chaos, if Jason is any account of what Chaos players are like.
He isn't. I hate to break this to you, Lang. And Jason, you know I love you, but dude,
no.
You have the worst luck.
So, Troy, we're going to do the higher learning segment. We're just going to grab a random person, and it's you. So, tell us about why you're playing your army today. Is it your only fantasy army?
It is now. I actually just sold off a couple.
What did you sell?
Why did I sell?
What?
I sold off Wood Elves actually just a week ago.
Boo!
Yeah. I sold off some orcs about 2 months ago.
Orcs?
Yeah. And actually, I guess I have two half armies. I have half an ogre army sitting there and half a skaven army.
I think we all have a couple half armies sitting around, but that's pretty good. So,
more than a couple.
Did you get a lot of playtesting in with your list?
Not this list, no, actually. I've been working and I'm in college, so I didn't get much of anything done.
That's good to know. Painted. See, I'm doing all my pre-strategy right now. So, you feel confident? You feel confident in your list? Say no, because then I feel more confident in my list. But, your army looks pretty good. You got a nice theme going. Is it going to be primarily Khorne?
Mostly Khorne, yeah.
You like just the Khorne rules, or is it the theme? Like, what drew you to it? The rules? Like, are you playing the hard list, or are you playing the fluff list?
I'm playing more of a fluff list. I mean, I have some stuff that I've never heard of on any of the lists. Like, I got a guy in a Steve the Slanish boob snake. A bunch of guys
Titty worm?
Titty worm, yeah. I like that better, actually. Officially described it for the vet.
The titty worm.
I fell into Chaos a bunch of years ago just because I love the models, actually.
Yeah.
I was really impressed, and Chaos Knights are just cheap as borscht for actual money value, and I think they're still hard as nails.
Well, yeah, for sure, and I think that they make the best unit for, like, small hitting units. Like, if you're going to take the little unit of Knights to harass or kind of bump into a flank, I think Chaos Knights kind of come out on top. A lot of other Knights at 5 is just pretty much pointless, so yeah, I mean, I don't really say that Chaos players should take huge units of Knights, but I think you can't really get away without taking at least 5 Knights. Without marks. Are you taking them with Khorne marks?
Actually, no. My Knights have Zinch.
Ooh.
Just because I wanted to paint some blue.
There you go, man. So I'm going to be marking painting scores off for not uniform, right?
Look, if you can't nickel and dime the guy that's about to walk all over you, what can you nickel and dime?
But it is a fully painted army, so congratulations.
That's, one of the few up here, I gotta say.
We're really happy to see...
very, very happy.
I was about 50% are kind of half-painted, pseudo-painted, but we got a lot of stuff that's really fully nicely painted, which I was happy with. I was really worried it was going to be like... I would play one game against the painted army the whole day. Yeah, the plastic hordes. But I think Chaos is a good choice at this edition. Like, you feel like this edition helped you with Chaos?
I do, actually. Just the way, like, if you look at the hand weapon shield bonus and the synergy you get from that, especially if you're taking any Zinch guys, which I didn't, actually.
So you agree with me, hand weapon and shield with the 6-plus ward is actually a little bit better than just getting the extra armor save.
They're different things, right? I mean, yeah, you don't bounce strength 3 off you quite as well, but it does give you a chance to stop that dragon from smearing the guy all over the ground.
Right, right. And I mean, Chaos, one of the biggest problems is you've got a lot of small units that are going to do really poorly against monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So having the 6-plus ward save is really helpful, you know, from like the Stegodon hits that unit of 12, and your guys are hoping to get a wound, but at least you got a 6 plus ward save against like the impact hits and things like that. This is kind of interesting. Like, why did you choose to go with the mix? Again, just kind of the fluffy, you wanted to paint different colors, or you think that that's the more balanced chaos?
I didn't choose my army specifically to make it as fierce as I possibly could. I acknowledge that I think Khorne is probably the best bet overall for marks for chaos, just for sheer damage output. I mean, it gets more attacks, and how can that not... Well,
it's the most dependable.
Well, and in this edition where... excuse me. All right. In this edition where Frenzy isn't the auto chase the pistoliers, but it's just like, no. If I fail a leadership chance, sure, I have to go run after them. But now, I mean, fuck, Chaos has got leadership 8, leadership 9 with, you know, with the right lord choices, Bosfin, and you're just like... I can really rely on that, and you put a battle standard barrier in your lines, and you get to reroll that, and you're just like, oh, I don't give a shit about frenzy anymore. All I get now is plus one attack, and you know,
nothing but good and immune to psychology. Like there's no drawback to that. And like I said, it's easily the most dependable of all the marks, where you know exactly what that unit's going to do, and you're not, you know, getting stuck in against a unit where you know minus one to hit doesn't really make that much of a difference, right? So yeah, I think Chaos is a lot of fun. I think you and Mike are the only two Chaos players.
We've got a pair of
Stephanie,
demons.
Stephanie and Will are both, demons. Playing demons.
We actually have another Chaos guy from Grand Prairie here. He has he's using a Throg Troll General guy.
The unpainted one.
Yeah, well, his kid actually went through and crumpled a whole bunch of his models. So he's got to eat his head. He picks them up.
Figure cases, big glass figure cases. Because if they ruin it, they cut themselves and they deserve it. I'm a horrible father.
See, my daughter, like 6 months ago, learned to undo the clasps on my cases. So I'm like, guess what's all on the top shelf? Which my 4'8" wife, who plays Tau, does not appreciate at all. Because she's just like, I can't reach this shit. What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, sorry. The kid's not ruining the models. I don't care.
Yeah, so there is no crying baby in the back of this episode. Just a lot of crying gamers, probably, as we get through the rest of the
tournament. Well, they're not crying yet. Wait till...
As I said, as we get through the rest of the tournament. Just listen to what I'm saying.
Why would I start that? Look, sweetheart.
Jesus.
I know.
No, you can't you can't just ignore my feelings like that. You son of a bitch. I hope we play, goddammit. No. I think, for the most part, is there anything else you want to toss in on Chaos?
Last edition, 7th edition, I was all about Marcus Slanish, actually.
Yeah.
Just for the, as we were saying, reliability of it. They just ignore all the crap that sucks in that edition, and they get to where they need to go, and they beat the crap out of stuff anyway, because Chaos Warriors and Knights, they just get it done. And actually, most of the time, I have 4 units of light cavalry with throwing axes and Marcus Slanish, and this time I didn't do it, just because they get to wherever they want to go, they harass redirect. This time I haven't played a game without them in 3 years, so I'm just trying something different.
Right on. That's good to know for me. You always want to go in against a player who's trying something different. Like, I heard somebody the other day where they're just like, this is like maybe my second tournament. I'm just like, I want to play you.
You hear that? Lang goes for the easy win, not the good win.
Winning is everything, and I'm going to beat you to the lizard men joke, but...
Damn it!
Well, thank you, Troy.
No worries.
Yeah, thank you.
We will start the game, and I'm sure I will be coming back in the next hour or so to record more podcasts where I complain about how shitty my dice were and how it wasn't my fault.
It seems to be a recurring theme with you. But anyway, I have to go set up all my wood.
It's a recurring theme of the podcast, I suppose.
Indeed.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break here, play some stupid music, and we'll be back in just a moment. I told you, I'm off my streak. I'm winning. Winning games.
Yeah, but that's because you're not playing me.
Well, you did how good in your game? You did okay, right?
Yeah, but you know what? You know what, sweetheart? I actually played the scenario, so instead of cheating, I was down
1,000
points.
We were not cheating. If we were cheating, both of us cheated, and we canceled each other out. Just because we forgot to do reinforcements doesn't change the game. We just forgot.
Yes, actually, it totally does, because I lost a tree man.
I'm gonna blame Troy. It was his fault. He said my unit of tree kid.
So I lost 1,000 points on it to his 200 points. So I'm just like, fuck me.
But if you lost your slan as much as I did.
No, but I mean, if you would say rolled a one on your slan, then your temple guarder there and your slan is. Now you're just like, what the fuck am I gonna do?
And same thing with the rest. No, they're attached to the unit. They can't leave it.
Oh, okay,
so
whatever.
So that's it. But obviously.
It very much could have altered the game, because if it affects you heavier than it affects him, which is what really happened in my game. So, I mean, basically, if you looked at my board, everything was happening basically within 10 inches of my board edge. Because, you know, I had to deploy that far back knowing that I lost 1,000 points. So I need to be far enough away, make him spend 2 turns coming to me. So my reserves are on and I can actually formulate something.
We totally just didn't play reserves, unfortunately. But again, that's just the game that we played. So,
yeah.
You know, it happens. We didn't really have anything for magical terrain in our game. We rolled for one forest, was like a wild forest or some shit like that, and we just never went into it. There was no point.
Nice.
But no, my game was very straightforward. I crushed him. He got 2 units of 10 skinks and no other victory points, and I wiped everything he had off the table.
Yeah.
His knights were still there, but at that point we were just like, we're done.
Yeah. Even though it was the minor loss, I was definitely in a position of, you know, one more turn would have let me break some spears, possibly close that up, bring it closer to a draw. Because, I mean, you know, at that point, he had, I think, his 2 bolt throwers, which would have been charged the following
turn. Well, you were playing Dark Elves, let's just say that.
Yeah, I was playing against Dark Elves.
I was playing against Chaos.
You know, he had 3 units of Repeater Crossbowmen left, his 2 bolt throwers, and, like, 1 level 2 wizard.
Right.
If I'd had a chance to fight the combat and break his horde of spears. But, you know...
It happens.
Who cares?
He had a really big unit of Khorne, Mark of Khorne warriors with halberdiers. But I was able to essentially nerf them by getting off Speed of Light and Foss Protection on the bubble. So he was hitting me on 5s. I was going first, hitting on 3s. So I was just chewing him to pieces. And I was able to get flanks with my ancient Stegodon. My other Stegodon, I just kind of ran around the table. I just used it to kind of slow the knights down. And I just kept his knights out of position the entire game. He was really unable to do much of anything with that flank, because I just had him, you know, I just had him speed bumped, and that was kind of the way that it went.
Although
my magic was spot on. I don't think I failed a single spell, and he only was able to just dispel every once in a while.
See, magic was a roller coaster for us with my first magic phase being 9 power dice and me losing focus on my second spell.
Yeah.
You know, because I rolled a 1 and a 2. So
that's going to be hard on you for the rest of the tournament, because that really does change your mentality when it comes to magic. When you have that one game where you're just like, I guarantee you next game you're going to throw that one extra dice just to be sure.
All was made well when the very next turn I turned into a dragon, killed a unit of Blackguard and a chariot, and was just like, sup, bitches. All was made well with that. But no, it's pretty good. By the sounds of everything, it looks like everyone's having a good time, which
it seems like everyone's having a good time.
No one's rage quit yet, but it is only game one.
That is true. It is only game one. Okay, so we've seen a couple armies in here. Yeah, we were saying we're a bit unsure for if we were going to get paired up against people who had unpainted armies. I think kind of the interesting thing right now is there's a beautiful demon army over there.
Yeah,
really great
stuff.
Unpainted bases and unpainted models in it. So I would like to vote for it, but I don't think I will, just for that, because it's just like I can't vote for that as best painted with unpainted models. In the army.
Yep.
You know, and so I think that's the biggest thing. I think the other thing that I'll probably end up voting for is that beautiful Skaven army, the one with the screaming bell and the plague furnace.
I haven't had a chance to
really nice looking army. I really did like that quite a bit. But I think my strategy's not going to change. Is your strategy going to change for your next game?
No. You know, Liza, for me, the biggest factor in that game had to be my reserve rolls, because I mean, losing 1,000 points out of a 2,500 point game. To sit in reserves is such a massive handicap, to the point where I'm just like, oh, you know what? There isn't much I can do. He won the roll for first turn, which meant that I needed to roll a 6 to have any chance to, you know, have a say in it, because I would have absolutely gone first, put my reserves, you know, right touching my board edge, because that's the scenario. And at least that way had my army in a position, had the ability to throw some magic and do some stuff like that.
So I'll stop you here. So the last tournament you were at, the trophies were hilarious. Did you see the trophies for this tournament? Is that fantastic?
Yeah, absolutely. I must say that I would love to take one of those home, and I wouldn't have to explain to the missus what it is.
What it is. Wait, what is the best have?
Yeah. The best have? Or the Wraith Boner? Seriously.
No, but, you know, he had a unit of Ogres with great weapons. He had a big unit of Chaos Warriors with Halberdiers, Chaos Warriors. He had a unit of Knights. We had talked to Troy before we went to the break there and started the first game. But, he had a decent-sized army. I think the biggest mistake that he made was charging his Titty Worm against my Knights. Because he just wasn't able to break them, and they weren't going to break anyways with Cold-Blooded Leadership 10 BSB. So I was just like, I know I'm going to win progressive combats. And then in the next round of combat, when I got all my magic off, you know, he's hit me on fives, and I'm going first before he is. So, you know, all I had to do was score a wound, and all of a sudden he's rolling leadership six.
Yeah.
So that's what ended up happening. He broke, and I ran him down. He had a lot of stuff breaking. I didn't give him any options in my game. That was, I think, my biggest thing, is I made him fight me on my terms, and it's not a fight he could have won. He just didn't have the numbers, there just wasn't enough room on the board, and I was able to keep his knights out of position to flank, so I never had to worry about flanking, you know, and that won me the game, by far. So, I think, you know, I really do like my army, I'm very happy with it. I did finish painting it completely. For anyone who was unsure, it is completely painted and based and done, so I'm very, very happy with that. And then, obviously, you got your guys done as well on time, your monsters and your characters and your great stag. How was your great stag and your tree kin? Because they look like they were kicking ass.
By far the MVPs. I mean, it's an expensive unit with the great stag and the tree kin. It's 565 points, so it's about 20% of my army. But in my last game, they took out a unit of witch elves, the general level 4, supreme sorceress on a pegasus, a hydra, and a chariot,
God.
I had lost one.
Wow.
No, sorry, I lost two.
You lost two.
The witch elves took down a second one.
Took down the last one with a pile of poison attacks. Yep. Well, yeah, I said to you before when you kind of brought that unit up, putting a character on a great stag in with a unit of treekin, I would not have thought of that as like a real viable option, but oh my god, the more you look at the rules and the more you look at like how much it adds to that unit, because they're stubborn too, right?
Well, yeah, you know, exactly. The hero has the crown of command to make that unit stubborn on a leadership of 9, and honestly, it was never an issue.
Yep.
You know, because like it was just like they were such a good unit, so hard hitting that it's just like they won every single combat. Because the first thing I charged was a Hydra, put a couple wounds on, took practically no damage. I think it was a tied combat there. And no one has a musician. It's monsters on monsters.
Monsters with monsters.
You know, then he charges in his chariots and I bounce him. I win combat. And then I win combat and broke the Hydra. So
in the end it was a minor loss for you, but you pulled out from a major. What, 15 points, 16 points?
Yeah, it was about 15, 16 points away from a major, and that's because on the bottom of the last turn, because we got called for time, because our game only ended on turn, what, 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I'm asking my opponent, he's nodding. So our game only went to turn 4. On the bottom of turn 4, I threw the Hail Mary pass that resulted in 700 victory points for me. Nice. You know, so that's why I was just like, that was the difference between just bending over and taking it.
Knocked his general down and knocked down the unit of witch elves. So that was pretty big for a last turn.
Yep.
You know, I had a lot of fun in my game. It everything kind of went my way. I had some really shitty rolls. Like, I needed threes, and I would roll, like, a mitt full of dice, like 23 dice, and I would get, like, 4 hits. And it's just like, wow! But it wasn't that. It was all about stopping him from doing the damage, and that's what won it for me. And my salamanders, I'll throw them in as MVP for my game because they were always in position. They killed ridiculous amounts of guys. And they were the turning point for me in the sense that they were able to whittle down his big units to the point where I was comfortable getting into combat and just wearing him down, just breaking him apart.
Yeah. No, for me, like I said, a lot of my strategy was dictated by my unfortunate dice rolls at the very beginning. Other than that, I'd have to say my dice were pretty average. They'd swing one way where I'd have like a terrible roll followed by a great roll. So, I mean, you know, I'm definitely not going to blame the dice. I was put into a bad position. I did my best to get out of it, and I think had the game continued, there was definite room for me to maybe pull out more, because, you know, I probably would have gotten a 40-man block of spearmen.
You were close,
I had him in the flank. I'd have been able to kill enough to take away his rank bonus and his steadfast.
Right.
And I definitely would have gotten that. That would have left him with just lots of really little things. So,
right.
I mean, I felt really good about it. Had we had a chance to go to turn five, I probably would have been able to pull it into a draw. I really don't think there was a way for me to win, though, at the end. I had practically nothing left.
No, you didn't have the hitting power that you needed. I mean, you did as much with what you could have, and you did it as good as you could have hoped for, where you broke both units that you charged on the Hail Mary. But yeah, you just didn't have the hitting power at the end of the game. You were lucky to rally your archers and deny him that much.
Yeah.
Because if they hadn't rallied, it would have been a major. Anything would have been a major loss for you.
Absolutely. So yeah, like I said, I'm happy. I'm not going to change anything. I am playing Wood Elves. So, I mean, I don't give a shit. I play because I love that army, not because I expect to win the tournament.
You do well enough with them. And I think that, you know the army, and you're throwing stuff out there that wouldn't be typical for a lot of Wood Elf players, I think, by the Treekin unit and the Great Stag. I mean, we've said it before. Treekin are easily the best monstrous infantry in the game, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
They hit as hard as any other monstrous infantry outside of maybe... Minotaurs or ogres with great weapons, or maybe Croxagores.
Yeah.
But they've got a great armor save. They've got a ward save, and it's just like you can't really go wrong with that. You know, I feel like overall for the points you pay, they are just like you're crazy not to take them, and you're crazy not to take them in a relatively decent sized unit.
Yeah.
But so I think we have the break now. People are going to eat some lunch, and everyone's kind of setting up their armies for painting. But you said you hadn't really gone around taking a look at the
armies. No, I haven't had a chance, to be honest. I was running around a lot before game one. Then we sat down to the podcast, and then I sort of jumped into the game. So now I'm going to take my opportunity to walk around, and maybe we'll talk about painting after the second game rather than recounting our tales of victory and woe.
Yeah, we can talk about painting a little bit and kind of see where it goes. But yeah, for sure. I think, I don't think my strategy's changing. I'm very confident in what I'm doing. And I think that for the most part, depending on what the scenario is.
Will you actually play it?
I will try to play it. There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees. But yeah, I think that's that. So we're going to take another break. We're going to come back after the end of the second game. And stupid music, yay! And we are back, and we have moved into a slightly quieter section of the building between games. We've just finished game two, and my game two was... Oh, God, that was not good.
Which of the six scenarios is the closest to 40K, and can at times feel like it invalidates generalship, tactics, all of that fun stuff?
Watchtower.
Yes.
Yeah, so the second scenario in the tournament was Watchtower. I don't think it really invalidates it. I just think that you really have to learn how to play Watchtower. I know that, my dice screwed me in this game. Like, just utterly screwed me. But, all in all, I think it, I played the scenario wrong. I should have been more aggressive. And, I kind of decided to wait and wear him down. Then when things started not going my way come turn three, I just didn't have the time to finish the game because we hit turn four and time was up.
Yeah, like I said, for me, I also lost. Definitely not off to a good start. But hey, if there is a booby prize, maybe I'm in the running for it.
Yeah, you could get it. You could get it.
It's true. I mean, I am 0-2 so far, but
I'm in the interesting position of going from a massacre to being massacred, which is like, well, if I get another massacre, I'm still in the running.
Yeah.
Because then we hope that the other people on the top of the pile have gotten more major victories than anything else, and it kind of balances
itself. Or they draw their last game, and it drops them into you, and then soft scores and things like that. No, I mean, for me, this is my second time playing Watchtower, my first time against you. You took it the first time, and that game ended up doing very well for me.
Yeah, I totally put the wrong unit in that Watchtower, too. That was my... And again... For as many games as we've played and as little as you've played, I don't think either of us have played enough Watchtower.
No, definitely not. And so for me, I made the mistake of taking the Watchtower. But the good news about that is, you know, I've said it before, I like to get under my opponent's skin, make them make mistakes. And so when I did that, it was a very good sign when very early in the game, you know, probably turn one, you know, just starting the magic phase, I got my unit of archers in the Watchtower, and it flustered my opponent so bad that he literally threw my models all over the whole.
Oh my god, board. Mike, sweetie man, Mike threw your models all over the table?
Absolutely threw the entire fucking unit. God. My banner bearer was like 24 inches away, sitting in his unit of marauders.
And I hear he's a cheater, like, too.
Yes, he is.
Oh, poor.
You
Mike,
heard it here first.
Mike. Both of those were not his fault, but still.
Yeah.
Bad sport and a cheater.
Yes.
Not his fault. Bad sport and a cheater. But, you know, let's talk about painting.
Painting, you know what? I was both pleasantly surprised and a little disappointed walking around looking at all the armies. I think there was more unpainted than I'd have liked. You know, but I think there was really only one army that just didn't give a damn. There's one guy there that just, it didn't bother priming, didn't bother doing anything. It was just like this sea of gray.
And proxy models.
And the worst part is he probably had the smallest fit model count army in the room. You know,
dude, like was playing a troll army.
Yeah, less
had Ushabti and ogres filling his ranks because he couldn't even buy all the trolls he needed. Okay, whatever. You're getting into the game. You want to play the army. You just wanted to start it. Sure, fine. But this is exactly why we say, you guys need to have standards. You got to have standards. And when you don't have standards, there's always going to be somebody who just could give a shit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, hey, we're not saying anything bad about the guy, but it's clear he just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, also walking around, there were a lot of other armies.
A lot of half-painted,
but, I mean, even then there was a big Skaven army, over 100 models, probably coming in on close to 200. End of November, the guy bought the army, and he still got it painted.
It was a good-looking army.
Yeah, we were talking 2 months with Christmas in between.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we all know no one has time to sit down and paint over Christmas. So, I mean, the dude went to the walls, you know. It met every requirement. It was three colors and based. You know, I mean, he's not going to be winning awards with it, but I'm sure he was proud to be able to put down that huge Skaven army and just be like, look, bitches, this is painted.
I thought it looked good. I was really happy with it.
Yeah.
You know, like we were doing... That was Ken, right?
I don't know the guy's name. I was talking to Mike. Mike pointed out, was like, "Oh, this guy just bought it in November."
Because we were doing the late night painting on Thursday, watching Rift Tracks at the same time. So that was pretty good. We were getting stuff done. But you know, I was in the same boat. I looked around and I said, "Hey, look at all these fully painted armies. They look nice." And there was one that was painted very nicely, but it had like two bare metal models and the bases weren't done. It's just like, oh, but you're so close. It's 95% finished. Why couldn't you just finish the army?
And the worst part is I would say that army with its conversions and its painting was, you know, you could flip a coin and say this is the nicest army here, you know. And then you're right. There was just like two bare metal models, one half painted model, and then a unit
bases,
of fully
there was round
painted
bases
with,
on
like,
it because he was using 40k
round
bases,
you know,
to fill his ranks.
Yeah, you know. So you're just like, you're so close. You know, basically, if the tournament had been 2 weeks later, he'd have been done.
He would have been done. Yes, because he said he had just gotten the blood crushers together. The day before or something.
Well,
he painted.
He had a unit of I think 30 horrors. He painted 20 of them last night.
Oh, there you go.
So, I mean, you know.
He was working it.
He gave a good, solid call.
No, I gave my best painting to Steven's Skaven. I thought they were gorgeous.
Yeah, you know what? Like you said, if the Demon Army had been done, they would have got my vote, but I did give it to Steven's because I couldn't give it to you on principle alone.
Yeah, pretty much, right? That makes sense. I mean, I know I got a couple.
Like I said, it's like voting. It's in my opinion, you know, you and I, you know, we're close friends. It's like voting for yourself,
right?
And so that's why I would not vote
unless I was heads and tails above everyone else there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, if it was obvious, you damn right, you damn well deserved it because nothing touched you. Of course, I give you the vote. But
yeah, well, I know I got a couple votes. I was very happy. I got a lot of compliments on my Lizardmen. People were surprised at how good they looked, and you know, were very interested and how I layered my washes and things like that. So I was really happy with my army as a whole, you know, at the end of the day. So for me, basically, I, you know, next tournament, please, 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 three color minimum and based.
Yep.
Just for God's sakes. And have some standards. Read the list ahead of time. You know, go through and really take a look at some stuff. Because, you know, I don't expect you to go through and redo all the math, but you probably should go through and redo all the math because, you know, Mike, through no fault of his own, he was using Army Builder. Army Builder added up his units incorrectly. He had a unit of Marauders that was underpriced and, of course, didn't really realize that till after the fact.
Well, yeah, really the only reason he got it is I'd wiped that unit out, so when we were doing victory points, he was just like, 200 points. Well, that can't be right.
Yeah. And then it was a horde. It was a horde of Marauders with the Mark of Zinch.
It was 40 Marauders with Mark of Zinch, great weapons, and a full command that came out to like 200 points, according to Army Builder.
Yeah.
Which is just absolutely wrong. So, I mean, you know, that's when he went back into his book, and he's like, oh, my God, this is wrong. You know, and Mike, being a gentleman, was willing to concede the whole game to me and just give me a massacre. But, I mean, fuck, I wasn't going to take that. I mean,
no.
He outplayed me. I played the scenario wrong. He rightfully got a win on it. And so, you know, we were in the position where
he was pretty shook up over that. I mean,
he was very shook up. He was willing to give me the win. I didn't want it. And so we split the difference and counted
it
as
a draw,
because I didn't want the win. He didn't want the win. And so we're just like, well, it's a draw then.
So who are you hoping to play in the third round?
You know what? Being 0-2 at this point, does it really matter? Like, it just... I'm hoping to avoid a demon army. I've yet to play a demon army, and God, I just hate playing unbreakable armies because, you know, yeah. I've got all these good hard hitting stuff. You know, I've got all this great hard hitting stuff that's meant to get in there, break you in combat, run you down, and that's how my small elite army works. And there are 3 demon players here out of like what, 12 people. So I'm just like, fuck, 25% chance of demons. Don't let me hit one.
Yeah.
So.
There's a lot of demon armies. That was, yeah, for sure. Okay, so we're going to get started. They're just calling us up to start the third game now. So we're going to take another break here, and when we come back, we will talk about our last game and our overall thoughts for the entire tournament. So we'll be right back. In our hotel room now, relaxing, finally drinking some beer,
oh,
drinking beer now
God.
Because, man, we couldn't drink there in the room, which was fine, but we couldn't drink there in the room. Nathan, you said you just didn't want to play a demon army. What did you draw?
Fucking demons. fucking demons.
Oh, my God. I ended up playing Mike in the last game, Speedy Man, and I got a major victory against him. I was only about 100 points away from a massacre. But I really was putting the hurt on him. He was too timid to really come at me the way that he needed to because he outnumbered me, but he let me pick my fights. He let me pick my fights, and when I picked them, I just... Every fight was one round of combat, boom, gone.
You know, I find the game breaker, and this is... You know, I have to say this after my 3 games, and
my beer is still fizzy. I opened it last night.
While we were basing. Ooh. No, but I mean, like, you know, I look at it after my 3 games and my experience, I think the biggest thing that I have learned is that armies have to have a level 4 wizard because you need the magic defense that he puts out and the offense that he can get on a good Winds of Magic roll. My Winds of Magic rolls this game, this tournament have just been phenomenal. I think I had 2 turns with 12 power dice because I rolled an 11 and got a successful channel twice. So, I mean, you know, just absolutely fantastic magic. And with my level 4 with the Book of Asher,
I was able to muscle out people in the magic phase if they didn't have the level 4.
Yep.
And so for you versus Mike, you know, like I said, I played him game 2. He doesn't have a level 4.
No, and when you had got a level your, 1 and a level 2.
You know, and he has his level 2 has Mark of Zinch, so a plus 1 to cast. Yep. And he has the Staff of Sorcery for a plus 1 to dispel. So yep. It's like having a level 3. And, you know, it's actually a smart, kind of clever way to save on points.
It's a discount level 3, but is it worth it?
In my opinion, no, because when you run into a Slan who's a level 4 and gets a free dice, you just cannot compare. And
how interesting muscled. Of you to say that, because that's what happened in our game. Well, I muscled him out in every phase. He didn't get a single spell off outside of one fireball, because I let him have it.
Yeah.
And it was just, but every other turn, it was just, I was just casting, and he couldn't deal with my lore of light bubbles.
Yeah, you know, and that is the thing, is because even with me, with my demon, with my game, the guy had a unit of 7 blood crushers with skull taker on a juggernaut, which is despicable. Like yeah.
It was a dirty list.
It was a very, very, very dirty list. He had this, so I was just like, you know what? The only thing that I can possibly do is charge in my Eternal Guard, because I know they'll hold against anything. Hopefully get Transformation of Kaedon off, turn into a Great Dragon, throw my Breath attack, my 8 strength 8 attacks, and just start fucking wrecking that unit. So I did, and having a level 4, I took 6 dice, I threw it all, he took his 5 dispel dice, just couldn't equal me, because yeah. He's only getting a plus 2, so yeah, I just literally just blasted him out, turned into a dragon, and with that was able to, you know, over the course, it took me 2 rounds of combat, but I killed all 7 blood crushers.
Right. Now, we were playing Blood or Glory.
Yeah.
And Blood or Glory is, if you don't know the scenario, it is based off of essentially your number of standards, your general, your BSB, and your unit's breaking point. It's fortitude. Now, for a 2,500-point tournament, your breaking point is 3. Now, how many banners do you have?
I have 3 banners, including my Battle Standard Bearer, because basically, in the army I have, there are only 2 units out of every selection I have that can take a banner. They both did.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my Battle Standard Bearer for 3, my General for 5. So I had a total of 5 points, and the way the scenario works is if I lose 2 of those points, the game ends immediately. Now, the player's pack here specifically said the game doesn't end, your opponent just gets 1,250 victory points.
Right.
But that's basically an auto massacre, because it completely invalidates everything you
unless you're tabling them, and they've got one guy.
Yeah, if they take me to my breaking point and I'm able to table him, then it's a draw.
Right.
You know, like, it's just like, son of a bitch. So, no, like I said, for me, top of turn 3, I lost 1 unit, and the game, I just decided to end the game, because it was a rough game from start to finish. This was a guy who's, game 3 of the tournament, I was his 3rd game of fantasy ever, and it really just kind of reminded me of those days back at Games Workshop, where you have to run the intro game, and hold the guy's hand, and tell him firmly, no, that's cheating. And knowing that you're going to get 0 bombed on sportsmanship because you're not letting him cheat. And so, So that's why when I hit my breaking point, I'm like, look, the game is over. Let's just add up. Oh, look, I lost. Okay, hey, good game. Let's hand in our score sheets. Like, for me, it was just end this game, please. Like, it was only like a 40-minute game for me because,
just concede and you're done. Yeah. That was one of the things that kind of bothered me. I assumed that since we were going to be playing 3 games, that we would be given more than enough time to play our games to completion. I get when you're playing a 4-game day and you want to put a time limit on and you're kind of chewing up the time and you're trying to rush and stuff like that, but I didn't have a single game go to completion. Every game was beginning of top of turn 4, or we were scrambling to get it bottom of turn 4 done.
Yep.
We never were able to play a game to completion, and that really bothered me.
Well,
because
see, for me, I was in the exact same boat.
Because it was big. We're playing 2,500 points, for fuck's sake.
I never got past turn 4, and I have an army that literally has about 60 guys in it. So, I mean, I have a stupidly small army. I've got 3 ranked units, 2
you
monsters.
Chug your beers?
Yeah, Jesus my beer Christ. Is done. Look, dude, I didn't get to drink all day. Fuck.
I was like, where's your beer?
And this is the kind of day that I need to drink.
Yeah, you really need to drink.
Yeah, so
you went 0-3.
I did go 0-3. I really feel that this scenario kinda hammered me, because to get an army down to its breaking point, you have to capture standards, and I ran into an unbreakable army.
Right.
So I mean, you know, I ran into the Blood Crushers, I won combat by 5. You know, he rolled his dice, rolled with his Battle Standard Bearer, re-roll, took 5 wounds.
So it's just like, you know, you would have broken. I would have broken that unit if you were not demons, if you were not undead. I would have broken you. I'd have gotten the standard. I'd have run down your general. And that would have been 3 points immediately.
Right.
Same thing. My tree can hit a unit of demonettes, which is the funnest thing you could possibly, the funnest matchup ever, because he threw, I think, 20 attacks at me and did one wound, and then I, like, stomped 12 demonettes into paste, right. And the look on his face was priceless.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's just those things where it's like, at the end of the game, when he hit my breaking point, and I was just like, look, the game's over. He got a major win simply because his unit of 18 bloodletters, there was one guy that lived. Because when I beat him by, like, you know, I beat him to insane courage, he rolled a 6. Had he rolled a 7, the unit gets wiped out. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? So with a 6, one demon standing there, I get no victory points.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with the demonettes, is he had the 1 and the herald, whereas had he rolled, you know, and he rolled a 5 on that leadership, had he rolled an 8, both of those units get wiped out, the Herald included. So I'm just like, you know, it's just, that would have been a draw.
Okay, so, but again, kind of back to tournament organization. Where did you place, Nathan?
According to the tabs, or where I should have placed?
Well, I'm going to grab the overall sheet, so we can add it up properly according to what we thought. But, yep.
According to the tabs, I placed 11th out of, what, 14 players?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, 14, 15, maybe 16. You know, I placed 11th, which I get. You know, I went 0-3. You know, but being one of the only painted armies. Oh, look, I have the sheet in front of me. So when we counted up, there were 2, 4, 5 people that finished below me. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, 11th out of 16. Not a great day, definitely. But I went 0-3. It's not like it's unexpected. But then when you start looking at it. They gave me the wrong amount of generalship points for my first two games, and according to the tabs, I have a barely completed painted army.
Barely completed, three colors only army.
Yep, three colors only, not based. And my composition says, if you actually look at this, I have the lowest composition. Oh, no, that's not true. The guy that won has the lowest composition score, but I am only 1 point ahead of him, with the average composition score being 3 points higher.
Yeah.
So, you know, apparently I had a motherfucker list, apparently.
And you're also a terrible sport.
Yes. And
you're an asshole.
And an asshole. I was the second worst sport there. And so, you know, at first, I was a little shocked, a little upset at that. And then, you know, we were talking to one of my opponents, and basically, from why my first opponent gave me, he accounts for 60% of these soft scores.
Yeah.
So I got zero bombed, or they fucked up.
Yeah, and
so Mike, you're a dick for zero bombing me. You owe me 2 beers, but you're not going to hear this till Monday.
But so, later tonight, we'll tell him in the podcast that week. That's so meta. No. Okay, so here's the problematic thing, okay? And this is the stupidity check for this week. If you are running a tournament and you're putting your scores together, double check your work.
Yeah.
Double check your work. There were guys who had gotten scores that were impossible for their gaming experience.
Well, yeah,
they weren't even scores that you could give somebody.
Yeah, so they have it listed as the guy that was tied for third place has a score that is impossible, because according to the player's pack, you get 10 points for a draw, 13 points for a
win. And he would have had the clear third.
And he was my first game, so I know how this game ended. He got the minor win over me, so he should have 13 points. It lists it here as 11. So
right.
Those 2 points break the tie, put him into a solid third place. And so you're just like, you know, but if that affects the top, and that affects me and, you know, the bottom, can we trust the winners? Like is this good? You know, what do these tabs look like? Because apparently the winner only got 4 points for painting, which means that either someone zero bombed him.
So either somebody zero bombed him.
Well, because he had a fully painted army.
He had a fully painted, beautiful. It was the army that both of us voted for best painted.
Exactly. And so according to this, he only got 4 points for painted, which means someone either zero bombed him, or
two people gave him ones.
Yeah,
or they screwed up again.
Or
right?
Two people gave him ones. So you're just, you know, you're looking at these tabs and you're just like, what the fuck is going on?
This is a failed stupidity check. And again, I'm not trying to go after the tournament organizers here, because we had a fun time at the tournament.
Yep.
But double check your work. You should not be handing the overall stats back to the players who paid and drove out and did all this kind of stuff, who want to see their rankings, and have them look at that and go just like, this doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Why is this the way it is? Like, if the scores don't change,
Nathan, what did you get for your first two games?
I got a minor loss, which was a 7, so I should be 6 points lower according to their tabs. And then my second game was the draw. So we talked about that in between games 2 and 3 with Mike.
Yeah.
So I should be 3 points lower. So I mean, I should be 9 points lower on generalship, which yep. should in fact put me into second to last place.
Second to last place.
Yeah. Are we gonna keep saying this?
Well, I might keep saying it throughout the night. No, I ended up placing quite well.
But you know, are my soft scores right?
Your soft scores are all wrong. So again, it's the same. It's the same.
You
problem,
know, so
right?
so that's why we were talking about it. As far as I'm concerned, for the 9 points of generalship I lose, I'm basically owed that yeah. in soft scores. So I mean,
as I think far I as placed I, 5th or 6th. But again, we don't know if the scores are right.
Yeah, who the hell yeah. knows? And, well, I mean, your name's not right. So, I mean,
if no, they can't yeah, get they spelled name my name wrong.
Right,
jerks.
If, you know, if they can't get your name right, what else are they going to get wrong?
Failed stupidity check. No, I just, that's all it is. Check your work. Check your work. It's so simple. Check your work. The other thing with tournament organization, like I said, is give people time to play, man. Give people yeah. time to play. If you're going to play 2,500 points, you should know 3 hours or at least 2.5 hours is time to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because in all three rounds, was there more than maybe one person who was done before the time limit ran out?
No.
And it was only a 3-game tournament, so you easily could have
done
this.
Well, and the worst part is like going into it, we were talking about how we wanted to, and this was before we started recording, you know, there this morning, we were just like, hey, you know what? I've got a super small army. I should be finishing
yes.
quite early. Lang was talking about how, you know, his army is really small because he's got, like, basically
well,
just...
pretty big, actually.
Well, no, your army is big, but you've got, like, what, the 2-ranked, you know, you've got 3 ranked movements, units of movement trees, 2 monsters, and really the only thing to slow you down are your 3 units of skirmishers.
Right.
And even then, they usually die turn 1 or turn 2.
Well, I throw them away.
Well, exactly. That's their whole point. So even you were just like, no, I should be able to go in, you know, execute effectively, and I should be able to finish games early or get beat.
Or grind them down.
And so we were talking about going around and talking to, you know, doing like short 1-minute, 2-minute interviews with people that were playing.
Yeah, we wanted to interview people during their games.
But when absolutely everybody goes to time and has to just stop their game and start figuring out who won, because of these restrictive time limits,
yep.
because they're not letting the players play, what can we do? You know, like, you know, it's just like a completely...
Should have started 2 hours earlier and mm-hmm. put an extra half hour on everything.
Well, yeah, you know,
taking the time to check the scores.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. Well, because I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, when I look at the outcomes of my game, I really feel, you know, no offense, Mike, I know you're listening, but I really feel that I was in a good enough position to, at the very least, get a draw, possibly even a win in game 2.
Right.
Had we actually played to that game's conclusion.
Yeah, I could have.
Instead of it getting called by time.
I could have pulled a draw or a win out had we not been called by time, because we did bottom of turn 4 in a rush,
mm-hmm.
and turn 5 I would have charged again, and I could have wiped out the unit in the watchtower.
Yeah, well, I mean,
because I was surrounding him. I wiped out an entire board edge.
Well,
like, even though I'd been taking hits, I was in a great position to start rear charging people.
Yeah, well, and I mean, like, for me, the unit that ended up capturing it for Mike was his unit of Chaos Warriors that were down to 5 guys without a banner.
Yeah.
And my tree man was going to go in on my bottom of turn 5, and I you know what, I feel confident in saying my tree man is going to bitch slap those 5 Chaos Warriors and kill them, because I was at 5 wounds on my tree man. I'm not scared about them. They're not going to kill me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was, you know, I feel confident in wiping them out, and then nobody has the watchtower. He loses that 1,250-point thing. And if my Eternal Guard were able to you know, to get in with his general
yeah.
and his BSB,
yeah.
and had I finally rolled a Winds of Magic roll higher than 5 so I could cast Transformation of Kaidon,
mm-hmm.
I'd have wiped out his general and BSB, and just it
yeah.
would have just tipped the entire game over. And
yeah.
that was completely possible had I had one more turn.
Yep.
And
yep.
so it's just
yep.
like, you know.
That, I think that was one of my biggest points of frustration was the
mm-hmm.
fact that we just did not have the time to play.
Well, yeah, and even my game 1 probably could have been a draw
yeah,
as well, because you saw it, because basically...
You did a lot of work in that last turn,
in
the last minute.
I did a lot of work, and had we had another turn, I would have been in a situation where I would have been able to... you know, my hero on Great Stag would have been assaulting his unit in the building, because, you know, I overran into it, so I mean, hey, there we go.
Right.
And my treekin overran into the flank of his unit of spears, which was a horde unit of dark elf spears with full command, you know, and shield. So I mean, this is a big 300-point unit that I easily would have demolished, because at this point they're down to about 13 guys. So
right.
It's just like, oh, there's no way my four Treekin aren't going to just fuck them up.
Right.
So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just like, with more time, my game one could have ended in a draw.
Mm-hmm.
My game two, probably a draw, possibly a win, because again, I like to go big, go for the Hail Mary passes. I'm all about that, as opposed to, you know, sitting on draws.
Yeah.
And then game three is just a scenario that butt fucks my army, and I couldn't have done anything about it.
Well, and you haven't played it really, and you didn't really think about that before the army, before the before the tournament started in the players pack.
Yeah, you know what? But at the end of the day, if I had tried to optimize my army for that scenario, I would have had to have made a much weaker army that hemorrhages banners all over the place, because basically the only other alternative is take really shitty, you know, hard to keep alive units, giving them banners, so that way when your opponent gets anything into them, free victory points with a free 25 victory point bonus for capturing the standard. So it's just like, you know, it's not really an alternative to say, well, you know, you could have made it easier to lose your first two games knowing that game three was there. You know, so that's why, you know, for me, it's just, it's a frustrating scenario for my Wood Elves to play, because it's just, my army's not designed to have banners. It never was in 7th edition or in 8th edition.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's just like, hey, if I lose one unit, the game ends. And look, I lost one unit, the game ended.
Yeah. I hear you. I was on par for the banners. I felt like I was pretty confident, again, because, you know, I was keeping everything within my bubbles for my slan and stuff like that. But the only other thing for the tournament, if I had to say anything else, was... for the most part, everyone was having fun. Seemed like they were having a good time. Would you come back?
You know, that's a hard question. And the reason it's a hard question is it is a long drive. And I don't want to say that anything that happened with the tabs invalidates the games that I played. Because I still had two very fun games.
Right.
You know. And one
not very fun game.
Just end this fucking thing.
And 1 2-hour, 1 45 minute long intro game.
Yes, indeed. You know, so I mean, it really, you know, I'm not saying that it was bad, but for me, it would definitely have to be a situation where I, you know, I've got the itch to come play and I want to go do it.
Right.
And I kind of have assurances that they're going to check their work.
Yeah, I think it would come down to assurances. I think it would come down to people just being like, okay, yeah, we realize we screwed up a little bit. Here's the changes that we've made. We're going to go from there. Because I think, for me, that's the biggest thing. Would I come back if they said that? Yeah. If it was just, we're running another one, it's another three game, it's the same schedule, I probably wouldn't come back. Because it is that issue of, yeah, I had fun, but I don't want to have to come back again and know that I'm just not going to be able to finish games, and I'm not going to be able to you know, play against painted armies, and I'm not going to be able, even though they have said they're going to make three colors a minimum from now on in. But I think they really got to bring up their standards. That's my big thing. Bring your standards up and really take the time to make sure you're scoring properly. And that was the other thing. Apparently somebody just didn't fill out your scorecard and they zeroed you for that.
Yeah, so yeah, and that was the thing is apparently the, you know, we talked to the TO and that's what they said, is they're like, oh, well, you know, the one person, he, you know, he just didn't fill in the bottom, so we just assumed he gave you all zeros. To which I was just like, you know what, look, I'm a tournament organizer. When you see that, you need to go ask the guy and just be like, look, why did you give him all zeros? And if he said, oh, that's a mistake, here, let me fill that out, great.
Fixed.
And if he can... and if he can give good, solid reasons on why I deserve a zero on everything...
sure.
Great.
Fine.
You know, fine. You know, you should ask me to leave. If I'm that kind of guy he can justify zero bombing.
Well, that's just really... to me, that was where it was just lazy. That, to me, was just like, but it's got his name on the card. You know he's still downstairs. Like, go talk to the guy. And they had even said for sportsmanship, if you zero somebody, you have to give a reason.
Yeah.
So apparently you don't have to give a reason if you just don't fill it out and he gets a zero.
Well, and the worst part is, like I said, I played a 45-minute game. I was the only game that didn't finish at time. So they had my score sheets.
Because
we know this is game three.
Ugh.
You know, they had my score sheets for like an hour. And they couldn't be bothered to go talk to the other guy. And that's why I'm just like, all right,
you know,
are you serious?
Kudos to the young guy who ran it.
Yeah.
The young guy did a great job. He was organized. I think he just maybe...
holy crap, yeah. I was shocked. He just like, you know, he the round would finish 5 minutes later. He's like, okay, I got pairings. And you're like, Really?
No, dude was really organized. I think it just it comes down to the inexperience of it. I think the inexperience is he didn't check his work. They didn't really think about the schedule properly. They were holding it in a store that was only open for certain hours, and we had to try to cram it into those hours. So I get that, but you know, if you're going to run a three-game tournament, make sure all those games are be able to play completion.
And the worst part is
within reason.
And to me, this is the biggest shame. Is it seemed like such a nice store, and I was actually looking forward to shopping in it at the end of the tournament. But basically, when you looked at the schedule, we were in before it opened.
Yeah.
You know, and our game started, and then we did lunch. But because everyone's games went to time, we ended up getting about 10 minutes of lunch. I didn't even
like 15 minutes.
I didn't even get anything to drink. Like I was parched. People, because there was, you know, they provided lunch, but there weren't any beverages, or if they were, I don't know where they were.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't get anything to drink. And then as soon as I was thinking about walking out to a store, there was game two pairing. So it was like right into game
you
two.
You had just picked up like your second slice of pizza, or like your first slice of pizza, when one of the other guys was saying, aren't we supposed to start now?
And yeah, like, that was it.
There was like three of us down there waiting, looking around, going like, shouldn't we be starting now? Like it was, yeah, it was just, I think it comes down to experience.
Between games two and games three, I had about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because with that issue with Mike, we did a lot of talking back and forth, a little of arguing. We were literally the last game. We handed our score sheets in. I walked down, I re-ranked up all my models. We wanted to do, you know, we wanted to get a lot of time to do the podcasting. We didn't really get as much as we wanted.
No, we really didn't. We had to cram.
Yeah, we really had to cram. And then it was just like, bam, pairing. So it's just like, and then everything was over. We looked at the tabs, we asked some questions, and then they're like, yeah, that's great. Can you please get out?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I was like, well, when does the store close? They're like, we closed 15 minutes ago. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to buy anything. Which is a shame because they had such a, you know, extensive toy collection. I was going to shop for my daughter because, you know, she literally just had a birthday last week, you know, like 4 days ago. So I was going to pick her up something nice because I was gone all weekend and I didn't have a chance to even look at their store.
I get that the store closes. I get that you want to get out of there. You know, I get that it's done. You're tired. The day is over. Okay, I get it. But this isn't everyday store day. This is tournament day. This is, you got people in there.
Well, you know,
and, you know, let people relax, let people talk, let people socialize, and if there is a problem, deal with it. That was the thing that really bothered me. So they're like, well, we'll just add it up again later. And I'm just like, really? Really? Like, you're just not gonna go take 20 minutes and do this right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, please get out. And so it just that, you know, well, they didn't say, you know, please get out, it was that feeling of, you know, looking at your watch.
At the end of the day, the last people in the store, you know, after we were just like, oh my God, look at all that. And we were, you know, we were going to set up to podcast. Then we looked around and that's when they told us they closed 15 minutes ago. And it was the two of us. It was one of the local guys who's, you know, really took a leadership role and trying to set up the community here. And kind of the shop owner, almost like hovering at the door, waiting to let us in. And we're just like, okay, I guess we're going to leave.
Right. Well, and even, you know,
For me, I would rather you rent a community hall. Like, if the store owner says, you know what, it is absolutely not possible for you to, you know, for you to come in earlier, you know,
come
much
in that earlier,
or stay that much later, you know, this is a business, you know, this and that, that's fine. I'm not going to rail on a guy for how he chooses to feed himself.
Right.
But I mean, if you're going to run an event, you should try to run it right, especially with how many people came from out of town.
Well, they had a big turnout.
I would say about 80% of the people there came from out of town, and half of them drove for 4 hours or more,
if not more. Yeah, and I think that made a big deal. You know, is we were able to have a bunch of people come out. Everyone had a good time. We were, you know, playing games and laughing and screaming and, you know, everything that you want to have in a tournament was there. And I think that was, in that sense, it was a success. It was fun. I mean, there's always a chance you're going to get matched against the wrong kind of guy. I was lucky enough that I did not get matched against anyone with an unpainted army. And I think they maybe did that on purpose, considering all the railing I've done.
Yeah.
But on Facebook and whatnot. But,
well, I mean, like I said, for me, the only army that I played that was unpainted was that demon guy at the end that we talked about.
Yes.
He had nicely painted demon army stuff with like two models that were undone, and I gave him
and
a zero
that
first
weren't
painted
finished.
Because, you know what? You're close. You know, he had more horrors unpainted than he put out for the paint showing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Cheater.
So that's why I was just like, no, you know what? I love the look of this army, and next tournament I'll happily give you top marks, but right now you deserve a zero.
Yeah, right on, man. Right on. I, you know, final thoughts. We're both going to get stinking drunk.
Yes.
Tonight we're going to go watch the fights.
So basically, we have been podcasting, if you stretch it out, for about 8-9 hours now. I have to get 8 or 9 hours of
worth
drinking
of drinking and crammed into
in
a short
very
period of
short
time.
Period of time. So I mean, I've only got about 3-4 hours. So I, you know, I'm at triple speed here. Is what I need to do.
Okay, so you with your wood elves after this tournament, you're kind of thinking, you know what, it's time to move on.
Yeah, you know, for me, I really am thinking it is time to move on. I love my wood elves. I love the new color scheme. I'm going to happily be painting them whenever I get the urge because, you know, I had a ton of fun painting my elves for this tournament. But, you know, knowing that if I draw Blood and Glory, I can't win. Because, basically, you know, I have to hide my best units to say don't get my banner, throw my tree men at them, try to earn more points than they give up before I lose one unit and lose the game.
All they have to do is rush a horde at one of your units of archers.
Game over.
You can't shoot that horde down by the time he just rushes you.
Yep.
And so I think
it's one of those things where the addition isn't kind in that scenario. Watchtower, I'm always going to struggle with because the Wood Elves don't have a good clearance unit. There's not a good unit that's going to clear a Watchtower. I can't hold a Watchtower because I don't have a good bunker. And so it's just, you know, the 1/3 of the scenarios are just very unkind to my army. And so, you know, I have no problems with the other scenarios.
I'm not convinced that Wood Elves are going to have a really hard time with it because I feel like a unit of 20 Dryads with a character, like a Branch Wraith.
But I can't. That's more than 20.
Well, I know. 19 with a Branch Wraith. Whatever. You know, I think that they could hold it pretty well.
But then I'm saying that for 5 games, I want to have a 300-point unit that is garbage.
I want to play 20.
Have you ever played with Dryads? Because I have. I have played with every combination of Dryads.
I'm still thinking 7th edition. Yeah, they really fall off.
You know, even in 7th edition, they were an okay unit that I thought were about 3 points a model too expensive from being a great unit. And in this edition, you're just like, no, you got to be fucking kidding me. Why would I buy Dryads?
Pretty much. And can you make Eternal Guard core?
Yes, but you have to. And that was the thing, is my Eternal Guard were core, but I have to take a 200-point character to slot them into my core slots.
And they just don't fit in the Watchtower.
No.
At 20 models.
Well, exactly. A 20-man unit of Eternal Guard is crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if I went 19 and with a BSB and put them in there, sure, it's going to be phenomenal in the Watchtower. They're never going to break. I'm going to hold. Well, actually, they'll get murdered to a man because you know 20 toughness 3 5+ save models.
They'll get cut down.
Yeah, you know, and that's my problem is just like I have nothing survivable that I can bunker. I have nothing that you know can be a leadership bunker. Like it's just. There's really nothing that's going to help me in the Watchtower. So for me, I think it is going to be time to move on. I'm going to keep painting my stuff so when the Wood Elves do get a new revision, because I'm, what, the 4th oldest army right now?
Yes.
3rd. No, 4th. Tomb Kings, Bretonnia, Ogres, Wood Elves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm the 4th oldest army. I know I'm...
It's coming around the corner.
Next couple of years, for sure. So, I mean, I think I'm going to be painting up my models because I love them. I love the color scheme. I have a lot of fun painting them.
But you're thinking about doing demons now?
I am thinking about doing demons.
Yeah, now, and adversely for me, I felt like I felt very validated with my army. I didn't feel like I really needed to change anything. I feel like it's as solid as it was when I had originally put it together. You know, might think about various strategies with it, but I'm very happy with it. So, I mean, I really don't think I'm going to change a whole lot with my army in the future. Probably just keep playing the same style of list that I'm playing right now. But I do plan on moving on and get my Space Marines done, which should be pretty fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that, you know, we're kind of reaching the end of the show here. And we've said as much as we're going to say about the tournament. Yeah, I would come back if they really promised it'll be better this time around.
Yeah,
you know, we're going to double check our work. We're going to give it one time to play.
You know what? I think I'd come back too, because as far as I'm concerned with tournaments, you know, unless they cost me like $1,000 to go to, which this doesn't.
That's $20 entry fee. Who cares?
Well, I'm talking like Vegas. Like Vegas is a one strike and out because, you know, I need to fly. I need to book hotels. I need to do all of that. And so, you know, there were enough errors where I'm just like, you know what? No, I won't come back. For this, I am more than willing to give everyone the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what, growing pains, maybe you weren't sure about it.
Yep.
I will come back.
Yes.
But you know what, for me, it's a 2-strike rule, you know. If these same problems are there the second time, I just have no desire to be a part, to continue being part of the problem and just turning a blind eye to it. So, I mean,
If it was another, hey, we're going to allow unpainted models, I'm not coming.
Yep.
You know, if it's, hey, we're gonna do this same format as before, yeah, I'm not coming. There needs to be some changes. I mean, you know, we're up here on our soapbox talking about how great it is, but really, these things affect the outcome. You know, there were people who, you know, played the game and had a great time, and they were all smiles and all happy, and they see the overall rankings, and the points are all screwed up, and nothing was double-checked, and they don't know where they really placed. Well, you should have seen how freaking, like, yeah. Everyone was just all despondent. And it was just like, when you're unsure, it throws a wrench into everything.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the other thing is you know, when you look at it, when you look at the tabs, sure, mine being wrong is not going to affect anything. Like I said, right. I feel my soft scores will probably offset the changes to generalship. I'll come up the same, give or take a point. Don't care. But I mean, you know, you look at it, the second place took best painted and had a lower painting score than you.
Yep.
And the best sport, which, okay, he won best sport. And so you're just like, well, how did they figure out best painting?
Well, that was just the ballot. It was just the ballot. Everyone walking around writing down their ballots. But that didn't have anything to do with painting scores.
No, I know. But how is that then the best painted army if... You know, it doesn't take into account people that actually had a chance to look at your army for 2 hours. So I mean, but not railing on the person that won it, not saying you should win it. But my point is should, you know, he was second place. Are his scores right? What if his scores are wrong? Should he have won?
Right. Well, and the guy who got tied for third, his scores are wrong. He should have been clear heads and tails third.
Yep.
He should have had the extra points, and he should have been third, not tied for third. But, yeah, that's the problem. I mean, we can go about, here's the points, here's this, here's that. The problem is, you didn't do it right, you didn't fix it before people left, all of a sudden everybody's leaving with a sour taste in their mouth.
Yes.
And that's something you need to fix, and you need to really say, when you do it again, if you're going to do it again, we will not do this, we're going to fix it, we're going to double-check our scores, we're going to make sure things are getting done properly. And go from there. But I think next episode, yeah, that was me. That was me burping. I'm a dirty fucker. For the next episode, we are going to do the mailbag episode. We got a bunch of emails from people after our last episode, and I kind of casually asked people to send stuff in. So we figure next week we're going to do another mailbag episode. So feel free to send in emails with questions or topics that you'd like us to discuss, and we'll go over it as best we can in the mailbag episode. But for now, that is Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
And I'm going to get my drink on.
Have a good one.
Cheers.